Part 4, HOPE Acronym. Chapter 13, Fasting to Hear and Heal. Part 1, Fasting to Hear. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is a story of a young man named Samuel. He was ministering with an old man named Eli, and they both lived at the church, from what I understand. Samuel kept interrupting the sleep of Eli, saying that he kept hearing from someone, and every time he heard, he would say, "Here I am," thinking it was Eli calling him. Samuel didn't realize it was God calling him, not Eli. So finally, Eli said to Samuel, "Next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" I relate to this story because sometimes when God speaks to me, I get confused. I can think I'm hearing from someone else besides God. It can be hard to tell if it's really him. One night I was sleeping in bed and I felt like God was telling me to go check and see if I had closed the garage door. I knew that I had closed the garage door, but God kept telling me to go check. Finally, I couldn't sleep, so I went downstairs and the door was indeed closed. I was like, "What in the world, God?" I was trying to sleep. And I felt I heard him saying, "I just wanted to make sure you were listening." I receive prompts all the time. Sometimes the prompts don't go anywhere, but most of the time they do. When I meet people, I always ask what they eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I've interviewed over 1,000 people over the past 20 years. Back in the beginning of this, maybe 18 years ago, God prompted me to go to my aerobics teacher and ask her what she had for breakfast. We've remained friends and I have planted seeds. Inviting her to church, although she didn't want to come, encouraging her, sending her messages to listen to online, planting seeds over and over again. I will send her Christian podcasts, Christian songs, anything I think might speak to her. About a year ago, God prompted me to randomly invite her over to the house. It was a really loud prompt. I had purchased this movie called The Case for Christ, and God told me he wanted me to invite Jen and Willie to have dinner and watch the movie. After they watched the movie, a couple days later, Jen told me that she and her husband both wanted to give their lives to Christ. About a week and a half later, I baptized their entire family in my pool. One of the things they said is that all of the things I had sent them over the years got them to a place where they were ready to receive Christ. Those were all little prompts God gave me. I was listening to a song and God said, "Send this to Jen and Willie." Listening to a sermon and he said, "Send this to Jen and Willie." Now their entire family gave their life to Christ. A lot of people after 18 years of friendship would have given up, but I continued to obey the whispers of God. Going back to Samuel, a prayer we should be praying every day: "Give me Samuel's ear to hear every whisper of you." It's not just about listening, it's about obeying what he tells you to do. I always seek to listen and obey, and I am blown away by what God does. While you fast, you need to urgently pray that God will allow you to hear his voice loud and clear like Samuel did. In this chapter, we are going to learn how to recognize and decipher the voice of God. Acts 18:21, New International Version. "But as he left, he promised, 'I will come back if it is God's will.' Then he set sail for Ephesus." I used to know a person who always ended statements with "Lord willing," no matter what the conversation was about. If she was leaving for the grocery store, she would say, "I'll see you in a little while, Lord willing." Or if you asked what she would like to eat, she might respond, "I'd love to have lasagna for dinner, Lord willing." After a while, it got annoying to hear that all the time. One day I asked her why she kept saying that, and she read me this scripture. James 4:15, New International Version. "Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.'" Now, if you look at this with the lens of biblical truth, technically you wouldn't add this caveat to every statement, but it rubbed off on me, and I say it now too. Proverbs 16:9, New International Version. "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Learning to decipher if it is God's voice you are hearing or someone else's is so important. Make sure that whatever you're doing, it's the will of God. Use the voice system whenever you're confronted with a decision you're not sure about. Run the decision through these checkpoints to determine if the choice you're making is in line with God's will. V, vocalize. Talk to your godly friends. O, open doors. Are doors opening or closing? Is this biblical? Does the decision line up with God's word? C, confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Ask him for peace in the decision. E, emulate your talents. Does this match your talents? This system will work no matter how confused or unsettled you are. Challenge your situation with these questions to see if it passes the test. These are your checkpoints before you say yes. I'll elaborate more. 1. V. Vocalize. Talk to your godly friends. Proverbs 11:14, New International Version. "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Proverbs 20:18, New International Version. "Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance." Bring your decision under the scrutiny of godly friends you trust. What do I mean by godly? I'm talking about Christians who spend time in the Word daily, go to church, love God, and have a fellowship with Him. No one is flawless, but you should be seeking the advice of people who are a good reflection of honoring Christ. These people for me are my husband, pastor, mother, sister, and a couple of my friends. These are people who I know I need to listen to when they tell me something. One point I want to make now, and that I'll make again, is that you can't depend on only one of the letters of voice. All of the checkpoints have to work together or you'll still miss the will of God. When you're seeking advice from godly friends, the advice still has to match the Word of God. Letter I. You have to be careful of that because you can get good advice from 10 different godly people, but they can all point you in a different direction. Before I got into real estate, I sought out godly advice. While most of the people I talked to encouraged me to follow this new path I believe God was setting me on, a few told me not to go. Thankfully, I made the right decision and the rest is history. Oh, opening doors. Are doors opening or closing? Suppose there's a job that you're convinced God wants you to have, but they won't hire you. That would be a door closing. It is important to recognize how what we want can sometimes be different than what God wants for us. Revelation 3:8, New International Version. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Not only does God open doors no man can shut, He also shuts doors no man can open. God can use circumstances to lead and guide us. Acts 16:7-10, New International Version. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This passage is from Paul's second missionary journey. He wanted to go on one, but the Spirit of God said no, and he had to go another direction. Paul saw how God was working in his circumstances. God shut different doors, and Paul concluded that God had to be sending him to Macedonia. Let's dig deeper into the story of how I got into real estate as an example. I had been working as a children's pastor up to that point, but I was burnt out from the ministry. There were all kinds of things happening to that point that I was beginning to hate the ministry. I felt like God was telling me to go into ministry in the marketplace, so I prayed about real estate. I took the real estate license test and passed in a week. It was so easy for me. After that, a lady at my church invited me to work with her at the agency where she was an agent. It worked out perfectly. Every door opened up without struggle. One of my friends, Dana, told me she wanted to quit her job as a keyboarding teacher to be a motivational speaker on entrepreneurship. She asked for my advice on what to do, and I told her to start doing her motivational talks at night and on the weekends. That way, she could still support her family with her job and test it out to see what doors were opening or closing. This made sense for her to practically see where God was leading her without immediately diving in. 3. Is this biblical? Does the decision line up with God's word? Ask yourself this. Does the decision jive with the character of God? Did this idea come from God or is it something I came up with myself? One time, I had a friend of mine give me a prophetic word from God. He said that God was going to bless me soon in a powerful way, but that I had to make sure I gave all the glory to Him. After he told me this, I thought, I don't know if you heard from God or not, but I know that what he said aligns with the word. There are tons of verses on giving God the glory and not yourself. Whether or not the prophecy was from God, and I'm sure it was something that lined up with Scripture. When you receive a prompting from God directly or through someone else, bump it up against God's character. One aspect of God's character is wisdom, so you should always ask yourself if the decision you're about to make is wise. I run into people all the time who stop using wisdom when they're buying a house. They find a house they love that's $50,000 higher than their budget. It gets worse when the market is hot because you have to make a decision right away if you don't want to lose the house. Godly wisdom says to stick to your budget no matter what's going on. How about wisdom in relationships? Say that you meet someone you're both ready to get married after 2 weeks. Why don't you slow down and figure out what's going on first? Moving that fast isn't wise. There are many churches in the world that try to keep their sheep under control with legalism. So many people avoid church because of the list of things they can't do. There are churches full of people living in bondage when we have freedom in Christ. I experienced this kind of freedom many years ago when I attended what was, at the time, the first church I'd been to in a long time. The pastor there asked if I wanted to join his small group, and I told him I would as long as he didn't have a problem with me smoking with no plans to quit. He said that they loved people as they were and invited me to come. A few months after I joined that Bible study group, I quit smoking. Nobody asked me to. It was what I was compelled to do after coming closer to God and learning my body was a temple. So how do you decide whether you should or shouldn't do something? I like to use the example of a filter. I make my own almond milk, and when I blend almonds in my Vitamix, I pour the milk into a nut bag. It's a filter that stops everything that's not milk. It's a filter. You should have a filter too. If any action or decision is going to cause stoppage in your life, then it's something you shouldn't do. If it doesn't pass through the filter, then it shouldn't be in your life. First, determine if the Bible strictly prohibits something. If so, it's obviously something you shouldn't do. That can mean anything from adultery, murder, and stealing to breaking your word, overeating, and lying. However, not everything appears so black and white. 1 Corinthians 10:23, New International Version. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. There are some things we can do without losing God's love or favor, but that doesn't mean we should. 1 Peter 1:16, New International Version. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Second, ask if what you're doing will harm you physically. If so, you're damaging God's property. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, New International Version. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We want to honor God with our bodies. Think about what you eat. Is it hurting or healing your body? It's not your property to hurt. Think about it. When you're staying in someone else's home, you take really good care of their stuff, even more than you would your own possessions. That's what it's like. Some things are much easier to judge because they blatantly defy God's word. Here are some quick and easy ones. Should I have sex with my boyfriend? 1 Corinthians 6:18, New International Version. Flee from sexual immorality. Is God telling me to marry him or her even though they're not saved? 2 Corinthians 6:14, New International Version. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Do I have to report my income on my taxes? Exodus 20:15, New International Version. You shall not steal. Matthew 22:21, New International Version. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's." I want to get back at the person who hurt me. Romans 12:19, New International Version. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Should I cheat on my spouse? Exodus 20:14, New International Version. You shall not commit adultery. Hebrews 13:4, New International Version. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Should I eat this entire pie by myself? Proverbs 23:2, New International Version. And put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Should I quit my job even though I have kids to support? 1 Timothy 5:8, New International Version. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Should I cash out my savings to participate in a get-rich-quick scheme? Proverbs 13:11, New International Version. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. God does not lead people contrary to his word. If you're being tempted to make wrong decisions, that prompting did not come from God. It might have been the devil or your own flesh, but God never leads anyone contrary to his word. 4C, confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Ask him for peace in the decision. God is interested in life's little details. If you think you can only approach him about big problems in your life, then you're missing out on a personal connection with him. God is concerned about even the smallest detail. Because I know this, I prayed about the things that people find silly, like parking spaces and clothing sales. I act like God is my very best friend, and I talk to him about everything. Find out God's will for specific issues in your life. Isaiah 30:21, New International Version. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." John 10:27, New International Version. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The Bible doesn't talk about every issue we confront in life specifically. There's no verse in the Bible telling you whether or not to take that job. You have to pray about these kinds of issues so the Holy Spirit can tell you the way to go. All of these checkpoints help you to make the right conclusion. If the decision you want to make isn't verified by these 5 checkpoints, or if it's only verified by one of them, then it's a good indicator that it's not the right way. 1 Kings 19:11 through 13, New International Version. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah learned to listen to the gentle whisper of God. This only happens for you when you're praying, fasting, and studying the Word regularly. You have to be seeking God on purpose. Our world gets so busy, but when we let it get too busy and too loud, we miss out on hearing God speak to us. Don't make a decision without peace from the Holy Spirit. However, learn to tell the difference between what you want and what the Holy Spirit says, because it's easy to conjure up a sense of peace for something you badly want to do. How do you tell the difference between the desires of your own flesh and the will of the Holy Spirit? The ability to sift through that comes from spending time with God and fasting. Fasting is that missing piece of the puzzle. You can discern more clearly when you combine fasting with your prayer. In real estate, we often do a pop-by with potential clients. We deliver gifts to people who are thinking about selling their homes. Christians often don't give God more than a pop-by in the morning. They say a short prayer once a day and keep it moving. It's when you fast that you gain an ability to hear God's voice clearly. A friend of mine, Sherry, and her husband move constantly, and she didn't want to the last time. She prayed for confirmation so she could have peace about moving. She decided that if the house sold immediately, then it was the will of God. They put the house up for sale by owner at a time when the market wasn't hot. They had a contract the very first day. That was her confirmation. Don't let peace be your only checkpoint. Otherwise, you'll create your own sense of peace to justify a bad decision. Here's an example. I want a new car. I don't need a new car. I want one. Since I really want one, it's easy for me to drum up a sense of peace about making that decision. That's why peace can't be the only checkpoint. You have to incorporate all of these other checkpoints as well. So I asked my husband what he thought about me getting a new car. He said, "I think you getting a new car is fine, but we should pay off our house before we do that." He was right. That's godly wisdom. Even the Bible says that I should pay off debt. 5. E. Emulate your talents. Does this match your talents? Jordan, my brother-in-law, approached me one day with an idea he had been tossing around. He was thinking about getting into real estate. "I don't think you have a gift for sales," I told him. It was true. He wasn't a sales guy. Before you make an occupational change, ask yourself if it lines up with what God has gifted you. "I would never consider getting an administrative job because I am not detailed at all." However, when I first considered getting into real estate, people told me I could sell ice to an Eskimo. It was something that lined up with my gifts. Here's the biggest thing to remember when using voice. You can't just pick and choose one of the letters to follow. It's all of these pieces together that lead to a right decision. Not only when you fast are you able to hear from God, but you're also able to hear from others in a way that you never have before. I am currently fasting, and I listened to a podcast from Craig Rochelle. He said, "In a work relationship, it's important to give and receive feedback from your teammates. If you had a team of 5-year-olds playing sports, you're going to have one mom or dad coaching all the players. But once you get to a professional football team like the Redskins, my favorite team, you have an offensive line coach, defensive line coach, head coach, trainers. When you get into the pros, you need more specialized coaching. So if you're coaching someone, it's not because they're not good. It's because you really value them and want them to be better. We have someone in our organization who really opposes change. When you have someone who is a wounded animal, they either retreat or attack when they feel attacked. People like wounded animals can retreat or attack. When this particular individual receives coaching or feedback, she attacks. She can't see the problem. What fasting does for you is allow you to receive feedback in a way that you can process information in a way that is helpful instead of getting defensive. We have told this person that we feel she has anger issues, but in her mind, she doesn't see them. We've offered her counseling and she has refused that. But she has agreed to try fasting, so we are really hoping it brings that clarity. If you have people in your organization who are unwilling to receive coaching and feedback, it stifles the ability to grow. And if you cannot receive feedback, you can't grow as a person. You have to say, "I am not perfect. Everyone has areas they need to work on. And if someone truly cares about me, they will give me honest feedback." Fasting makes you less defensive. Think about the porcupine. Their body is covered in quills with really sharp barbs on the end. If the porcupine is threatened, they will stick their quills out in defense and poke the attacker. Our natural reaction is to be a porcupine and stick our quills out when we get defensive. But fasting will help you to relax. Be like Samuel, not like the porcupine. Part 2, Fasting to Heal. I always talk about my favorite hotel. It's the Ritz-Carlton in Key Biscayne, Florida. Their customer service is over the top. At most hotels, housekeeping will come to your room once a day, if that. But at the Ritz-Carlton, they come in twice. Once around 11 o'clock in the afternoon where they make your bed, refresh your linens, pick up your trash, and organize your stuff. Then they come back at 7 p.m. to fix anything that was messed up since they last visited. They'll even give you more water bottles, turn down your bed, and put a nice chocolate on your pillow. You may be thinking, sounds like a great place. What does this have to do with fasting? Glad you asked. One of the healing benefits of fasting is autophagy, and I like to relate autophagy to housekeeping. Autophagy is your body's form of housekeeping. Not only does this burn the fat around your belly and abdominal region, which is most dangerous for heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, but it also cleans out damaged or unhealthy cells like free radicals. If you drink alcohol, it destroys tissue and leaves dead cells. Autophagy will help remove these dead cells. Really smart doctors all agree that medicine doesn't heal your body, it aids your body in natural healing. If you want to fat-proof, disease-proof, and age-proof your body, there is nothing more beneficial than fasting. There are so many conditions that fasting healed my body of, including my rheumatoid arthritis. My doctor once told me that my knees look like the knees of a 70-year-old. Now my knees are 120 times better than they were. They're not perfect, but fasting has healed the rheumatoid arthritis in my joints and muscles. Fasting also helps with my psoriasis. I have polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, and fasting normalized my menstrual cycle. My cycles were all over the map, but now I'm at exactly 28 days. In the beginning, fasting may disrupt your cycle, but it will ultimately regulate it. Fasting slows down your aging process also, which is great for me since my husband is 7 years younger than me. Medicine is great, but our bodies were designed to heal themselves, and fasting is a real key part in this.